For the very first time, Mo Willems, who is a phenomenon in the world of children's books, is retelling a fairy tale as only he can, with a sassy Goldilocks, clever visual jokes, and of course, dinosaurs. This telling feels completely fresh, but with a nod to the classics. It's a story that will resound just as much with parents as it will for kids. Mo Willems is one of the most beloved and acclaimed creators of children's books of this generation. The New York Times has compared him to Charles Schulz and named him the biggest new talent to emerge thus far in this decade and this generation. Before he turned to making picture books, he was a writer and animator on Sesame Street, where he won 6 Emmys. We love having him as a guest on this program. Mo Willems, welcome back to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Joe. It's great to be back.
Well, I love having you here. I have to say, I'm madly in love with this book. It is one of the most delightful books, kids books, picture books, just plain books that I've read in a very, very long time. I have to say, it's Goldilocks and the Three Dinosaurs as retold by Mo Willems, but there are points where this comes off almost as a parody. It is satire, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, there's lots of elements about it. You know, there's this rock and roll sense that stories are not written in stone. You know, and as a kid, you've heard this Goldilocks and the Three Bears so many times, and you think, well, I can't mess with that. I mean, that's a big story. That's a permanent story. It's a serious story. And so the idea that you can sort of destroy it by throwing in some, you know, malevolent dinosaurs is a great thing. You know, in the back end papers, I give suggestions for the stories that you can then make. You know, Goldilocks and the Three Condors, Goldilocks and the Three Musketeers, Goldilocks and the 3-foot-long Hoagie.
the three robot dancers being my favorite. There's a sign where you mentioned the malevolent dinosaurs, where Papa Dinosaur says in this loud, booming voice, "Oh boy, it's finally time to leave and go to the, well, someplace else." "Yes," continued Mama Dinosaur, "I sure hope no innocent little succulent child happens to be by our unlocked home while we are someplace else." There's great humor, and I mean, people talk about this a lot of times, about humor that works on various levels, and that's certainly something that is, I assume, was often a part of the writing in Sesame Street that we see in much of your work as well.
Well, yeah, you know, and although I have to say, you know, at Sesame Street, there really was this idea that we wrote on two levels. And by the end of my time there, I started to disagree. I want to write on one level, and that level is funny. And part of the joke of this book is that the entire audience should be able to get that what the narrator is saying is not really the truth. You know,
right.
There's something else going on. And so we're on the inside. We're almost complicit with setting this trap for this poorly supervised little girl.
And the fact that we're assuming that the child who reads this then, well, they may or may not have had an introduction to the original story, to Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
I don't think it's essential. I don't think it's essential. I, the story holds up on its own, but if you do know the story, then it's a spoof. Then it's an early spoof for you, and then I think that's empowering.
Give us a sense of how these things come together for you. At what point do you say, okay, I'm going to take on Goldilocks?
Well, you know, this has sort of a weird kind of birth. I put out a sketchbook every year, and I have for the last 20 years, for adults with grown-up stories and weird little things. And I don't know how many years ago, but let's say it's about 10 years ago or so, I did do a Goldilocks and the Three Dinosaurs. Story was completely different, but the title was there. And for the first time, I have a book where, like, okay, I know the genre, I know the title, but who are these characters and where do they come from? And the book is actually surprisingly personal for me. I didn't realize it until after I'd finished writing it. But at the end, there are two morals. The second moral is the dinosaur's moral, which is lock the back door, which I think is good advice for anyone.
Absolutely.
But the first moral is, if you're in the wrong story, that's ultimately what I was writing about. And I found myself in a situation where I was in the wrong story, and it was time for me to leave. And the writing of this book allowed me to see it. So on one level, it's a very, very silly book. And on the other level, it's probably one of the most personal books that I've made.
Personal in what, in what sense?
Well, in a personal way.
Meaning
it's
that
personal, Joe.
Yes, personal. It's personal. So I can take that two ways. In that, A, it's none of my business, or B, that you know, it's something that you put blood, sweat, and tears in.
Well, A and B. Absolutely, I give you both letters.
Okay, excellent. There's a point in the book where Goldilocks comes into the bedroom, and there's the big bed, the middle bed, and the small bed. And you look at the art on that page, and there is a point where the figure of Goldilocks really pops out at that. Tell us about the artistic process that allows that, because it almost seems like a background with an animated cell over it. But how do you do that?
That's a very accurate sense of what it is, and I approach this very much like a film. So all of the characters have a little bit of a drop shadow, like they look like they're on a cell level, so that they do pop. And part of it is that, you know, on a metaphoric level, she's not where she should be. She doesn't quite integrate into the background. And so the line quality is a little bit different in that drawing, the background versus the character. The character's a little more in focus. And there is this sort of drop shadow. These are all things that I think guide the emotional sense of the character, and things that I would hope that people don't notice. But you did. So,
and
disappointed me, Joe.
I apologize. And when you talk about what people notice and what people don't notice, I assume when the three dinosaurs are charging in to get Goldilocks, who has escaped from the back door, and we see those three dinosaurs coming in on the left hand side of the page, and we see two archways and the open door on the right hand side, and when we look at that, the subtle things like the doormat that says "Wipe your talons." The poster on the wall that says "We are natural gas," the very small picture of the pigeon from "Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus." These are subtle things that I assume you do want people to notice.
Well, that I want you, absolutely. And on a second reading or a third reading or, you know, something like that. Usually I don't draw backgrounds, so I don't get to make these silly little jokes. And now in this book, because it's more traditional format, I get to put in these jokes. The "We are natural gas." There's another one for the basketball team for the dinosaurs, which is called the Asteroids.
Yes.
Feel the boom. You know, for me, it's always been a thing. I'm not a big sports guy, but I've never understood why every team that we create is like a natural disaster. Or some sort of terrible, terrible people, you know, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the earthquakes, the pestilence, you know, the locusts.
George Carlin did a wonderful routine on that, actually. When you have the and here again, also in that same frame, when you have the little dinosaur, there's a little Norway flag on his bed.
Yes. There's a calendar at one point that says Norway, the gateway to Sweden.
Yes, Norway, the gateway to Sweden. And there's also this point where there's the first chair was too tall, the second chair was too tall, and the third chair was too tall. And Goldilocks looks very bewildered by all this and says, "Hey, what's going on around here? The bears that live here must be nuts." And it really is the point where she knows her place and what story she should be in. Going back to what you said earlier.
There is a question that, you know, this narrative isn't going the way it should. And I think that happens often in all of our lives. You're in the middle of some situation and you say, "Wait, this story is not playing out the way that I think this story should be playing out." And then, you know, then you have a decision to make.
Would you think about, given, I assume, I mean, it's just out, but we assume success of this book, that you would retell another classic?
The book just came out yesterday.
Right.
I don't know. I have no idea. I wouldn't do it for any other reason than I found a story that I really, really like. And so I don't think of my books in terms of, you know, oh, well, this, you know, if this one does well, then I can make another one and that'll do well, or that kind of thing. The story really has to come first. And at this point, my attentions are elsewhere. I've got a lot of other projects that I'm doing, some grown-up projects, some theater projects, some other kid projects, and so my plate is full.
The new book, Goldilocks.
Happily is full.
Goldilocks and the Three Dinosaurs is the new book. It's out from Harper, and Mo Willems is the author. For more information, go to gomo.net. Gomo.net. Mo Willems, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Best and continued luck with all your projects.
Rock on, Joe. It's great to talk to you again.
Delight. Thank you very much. The name of the book, Goldilocks and the Three Dinosaurs, by Mo Willems. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.